one of the very first trends that we noticed was, you know, and to kick back on the scenario that Chief Lacey gave you, you know, under House Bill 463, if the value is less than $500, it's now a misdemeanor offense. So if I come to your house and I steal $500 worth of your property or $499 worth of your property, you know, the law states that the officer shall, you know, issue you a citation to appear before the district court. If I go into a retail store and steal a Hershey bar, that law, the same law allows me to make an arrest for that. I mean, what kind of sense does that make? So what the first problem we identified with 463 as police officers is, okay, we started issuing these misdemeanor citations to appear in district court, and guess what? Nobody showed up for court. So we were right back to square one with the judge issuing bench warrants for failure to appear. So guess what we were having to do then? We were having to go back and relocate these perpetrators, and the end result was the same. We would have to put them in jail. You know, so we solved nothing by taking that misdemeanor arrest power out of the hands of your frontline police officers. I mean, and it, to the common, I don't say common, but to the citizen who's not involved in this type of work, they perceive that as, you know, we're lazy, we don't want to do our job, you know, we're this, we're that. When the law is painfully clear as to when we cannot make a physical arrest. And I just feel like 463 has just taken victims of crimes and made them more victims. I mean, they have doubled the pain and suffering of your victim and just multiplied it. And, you know, and there's people that I've known in this community my whole life that on a daily basis come up to me and ask me, you know, well, in a situation like this or this, you know, and that's the nature of the beast being a police officer, especially in a small town. You know, people are intrigued by the work, you know, and a lot of it, you know, comes from people watch reality TV shows dealing with law enforcement stuff. And I mean, I'm always getting questions, you know, does this really happen? Is that really? Well, absolutely, it really happened. You know, but, you know, people don't know exactly what's going on in this community, and they see it as we are incapable or unwilling to do our job when, you know, that's not the case. The sad truth is that we've had that ability taken away from us.
Here's a good place, I think, to plug it. You know, there's members that, like you said, Rog, you kind of, our working people that go to work every day maybe have not been directly related somebody with drugs or whatever. And oftentimes they don't realize, but they are a big piece of this, because at the end of the day, it's their tax dollars that's been impacted by all of these things. And absolutely. I guess kind of from here, I'm just going to make a plea to our citizens. You know, it's all of our emergency responders. It's our firefighters, our police officers, our EMS. And, you know, you might not think, well, I don't know anybody addicted to drugs. That doesn't impact me. But it's kind of the same thing y'all talked about with y'all's resources. We've got the same thing in all of our departments. Just for an example, one of the examples we was talking about, you know, the drugs affect our EMS service too, because it's the same lack of, they're stripping, this drug epidemic is stripping all of our resources. So the average taxpaying citizen that is going to work, doing the right thing every day, when they truly have a need, say they have a heart attack, good chance that two or three of our ambulances are on a domestic violence issue that was created by drugs, an overdose. So every one of us has been impacted by this. And like you said, it's stretching our resources, which we already have a hard time keeping enough to the very end. And unfortunately, there's not enough money to throw at it if we don't break this cycle somehow. Right. I mean, that's with all of our emergency services.
Well, you've got a place called Department of Criminal Justice Training Center in Richmond, where we go for our academy training and then we go back for our in-service training. And they teach us over there how we are to operate on the street. And to give you an example, if you're on the street working as a deputy sheriff or a city police officer or even a trooper, one of the rules is you cannot answer a domestic dispute by yourself. So if you get a call at 2:00 in the morning that there's a domestic going on, for example, at Van Village, and you're the only officer out in the whole county, you got to sit there. What do? Do you sit there and wait 30 minutes and hope nobody don't get hurt for backup to get to you? Or do you take a chance and go on in and maybe you have to hurt somebody and then wind up getting sued because you didn't have proper backup? You see, and there's other laws that they recommend, highly recommend, that we don't answer by ourselves. You know, if I get a call that John Doe's up on top of Furnace Mountain with a high-powered rifle shooting at cars driving by or whatever, I'm not supposed to answer that call by myself. And I have to depend on other agencies, and I have to depend on other officers to come and back me up. And if I have to sit and wait before I go, if I don't get there in time, I'm in trouble. If I go by myself so I can get there in time and I wind up having to shoot somebody, I'm in trouble because I didn't have adequate backup. So what do you do?
Yeah,
what's the answer?
Be very
frustrated. You don't have the resources. You know, you don't have the resources. And sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and do what you think is best and be your own judge. And sometimes you have to make split-second decisions on people's lives. And that's not fun to do when you're the only one there. I remember getting called to a shooting one day back several years ago. The shooter went up in the woods behind the house. The guy that got shot was laying in the driveway, been shot in the back with a shotgun, and the ambulance came, loaded him up, and took off with him. That left me standing there with a shooter with two guns up in the wood line and me the only officer there. And I got real lucky on that. I peeped around the corner of the house. I could see the defendant standing in the edge of the wood line with two guns. I ordered that defendant to open the cylinder on the pistol she had and to open the action on the shotgun that she had and walk toward me, and she done exactly what I asked her to do. If she just started shooting at me, I was the only one there. With no other law enforcement officers around anywhere. And I was having to wait on somebody to come from Moorhead to back me up on that call. So what that done was put my life in danger, her life in danger, and everybody's life in danger between here and Moorhead, because the Kentucky State Police were running lights and siren trying to get to me. You know. So again, that's back to the resources. And that's not, I'm not blaming anybody, you know, that we don't have adequate manpower, because we've got all we can afford to have. We're spending all the money that we've got to spend on these things. So what do we do? The federal government wants to create these laws that we have to abide by, but then they don't give us any resources to do the job.
You know, in some of these conversations we've had today, it kind of brings me back to one of the things for the better part of the time I've been in office, I've preached about, I thought, the merits of a charter government, and kind of a part of that process would be merging of police forces. We got three departments in the county, and this very much speaks, I think, to the manpower issue and the resources, reaching of economies of scale. So what's your all's thoughts on it? I mean, I think in talking to most of you before, y'all see some merit in it, but kind of your thoughts on what it might be able to help y'all do.
From my perspective, it would be the best thing that ever happened to this county, because I've been to some meetings and stuff and heard some feedback about what all it's going to do for everything besides law enforcement, such as we were talking about recycling, we were talking about one department head, everybody working under the same governing body. In my opinion, a county of 14,000 people with three different government bodies is crazy. And as far as law enforcement is concerned, if all three of these agencies were combined together just by scheduling, we would have a lot more resources. We definitely have a lot more resources as far as grant money goes, getting this thing off the ground. It's my understanding that there's grant money out there available for uniforms, for cars, for equipment, for everything you need, really, to get this thing off the ground. And it would just make things a lot easier on everybody if we were all working under one head and everybody was exchanging information. And it would give, I believe, it would give the public more patrol than it's had in a long time, because the officers are out there working the streets right now, don't have time to patrol. They don't have time to deter crime because they're answering one call right after another. And if we all if we combine law enforcement all under one page, then that would give us more resources to work with. And probably even, maybe even be able to, at some point after it got started and got off the ground, maybe even be able to add other officers to it, especially after some of the older people retire. So I think it's a good idea. I think it's something that needs to be done. I think it's crazy to have three government bodies in a county this size. And I think that's going to be what we're going to have to resort to sooner or later. And I think the people would be getting better service for their money, for their tax dollars, and I think that would make them happy.
Anybody else have anything they want to add on that topic? Or
I think at this day and age, you know, with the three separate entities, you know, with Stanton and Clay City and the county, you know, we're all, for lack of better terms, just trying to survive, and we're not doing a very good job of it. You know, the cost of operating's, you know, increasing every year, you know, and like Rock Matthews said, you know, as far as law enforcement goes, you know, we've got three entities pulling in three different directions. If we could pull in that one direction, it will be for the common good of the people. You know, my question is why have we not already combined these three departments years ago? You know, it would streamline a lot of our processes. You know, it would afford the community a better service. It, you know, there's just so much waste, you know, when you've got three entities pulling in three different directions, to where, you know, if we combined into one direction, you know, with all of that waste and energy will go right back into this community. And like Rog said, you know, there's multitudes of avenues that we can generate monies and grants and stuff to build on and add and have a very, very, very good police department and be able to provide enough police protection to this community that would deter criminals from moving here from other places. That's something we all three see on a daily basis, you know, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of that motivation is they look at Powell County as a small community with inadequate law enforcement. You know, we can go over and we can run rampant. And that's basically what they're doing. They're taking over your community. And, you know, one of the big issues I have is a lot of people will come to me and say, well, you know, so-and-so, I think they're selling drugs, or so-and-so is doing this, or so-and-so is doing that, but keep my name out of it. Guys, this is your community. We need you to help stand with us. We're out there on the front lines every day trying to take this place back from criminals, and we're losing. We can't do it by ourselves. We've got to become one to get this done.
So. Just like the other two officers said, with combining both departments, putting all the resources together, the people that you would have, you could have specialized people doing investigations, and you'd have your patrol officers being able to patrol. A lot of times in our department, if you've got one patrol guy, he's tied up answering complaints or working cases. He's not out on the street going by your house, making sure nobody's getting in your outbuilding. He's tied up at the police department.
To give you an example how well this would work, the state of Kentucky finally decided a few months ago, or a few couple of years ago maybe, that it would be a good thing to give sheriff's departments and city police departments statewide jurisdictions under certain circumstances. I think it all got started back down in the northern part of the state, where a deputy sheriff was out of his county in another county, and I witnessed a burglary taking place, and there wasn't nothing he could do because he didn't have jurisdiction in that community, but call 911 and try to get the police there before the burglars got away. So if the state of Kentucky sees that we all need to be combined together and have jurisdiction in each other's communities, then surely to God, the leaders of this community and the people in this community can see where combining all three, all the government together under one heading.
That's very exciting talk. And like I said, as long as I'm here, I will be pushing to try to do that. And hopefully we'll get somewhere.